I will be using the chat, so I think if you guys can use the chat as well, that's great. And if anyone's internet goes funny, like, just feel free to disconnect and reconnect. That's, I'll understand if you suddenly disappear. We had some connection problems, at least I did last week, but I think it was me. So that's why I've got two devices going today. So welcome. This is our third conference call, and it's actually our last group conference call for BF-102 proposal writing. And I'd like to acknowledge that I'm hosting this call from the traditional territory of the Kwamundun First Nation and Tonkawatin Council. So I am back home. I've had a really great visit with people from, especially lots of people from Nunavut. That was wonderful. And now I'm back home again. So thanks for also for your patience. I know a number of you have posted last week's required learning activity. I will get to those this afternoon and share some feedback for you. And we'll also talk about expectations overall for your for the next couple of required learning activities, because I sent out an individual message. I'm open to options. This needs to work for you, and I'm willing to be flexible and make sure that what you get out of this learning event is useful to you. It's not for doing something to show me, but so we'll talk about that flexibility at the end of the call. If you have to go early and haven't reached out to me already and would like to, I think by now most people know how to get a hold of me, so that should be good. So last week, you told us what you were considering for your proposal, and I can see a number of those were posted. So Igor, you have the sports one. Courtney has the healthy, I believe it's healthy aging and fitness. And Kanapik, you've got the Get Happy Summer Days Camp. So I have scrolled through them quickly. And what you did last for that last required learning activity is you responded to the 7 questions that kind of help you shape your idea into a project that leads to a proposal or to the funding application. And those 7 questions are really important questions, because those are the things that funders want to know. So this week and next week, what you're going to be doing is taking that rough plan and starting to develop the core pieces and building blocks of your proposal or grant application, and then refining it further. I'm not looking for a finished product, so please don't feel that you need to do this perfect. I'm looking to see that you understand the process of how to build a proposal or how to prepare a grant application. So this is much more about process than the end product. So before we get into too far into the call, I know that by now you're starting to know each other, but we're going to do a quick round of introductions. And I actually have a question for you. So what I'd like you to do, and I'll tell you what it is now, and then I'll tell you what order we'll go in. So when you introduce yourself with your name and your community, could you also share one thing that comes to mind that makes a great proposal or a successful proposal or a proposal or funding application that people go, wow, I like that. So I won't start because I won't take one of the ideas away. I'll go at the end. But Misha, I see your brain working, so, and you're at the bottom of my screen. So I'm going to go from Misha to Kumnatic, Nikki, Igor, Adam, and Courtney. So let's go in that order. Hopefully you guys don't switch around on my screen, because that's how I see you. So Misha, if you wanted to unmute, introduce yourself, and share one thing that makes for an awesome proposal.
So my name is Misha. I am in Marsh Lake. And I would say one thing that makes a successful proposal is, I was just talking about it, what is it called here? Just steps to, or like text of success. So that would be like kind of a like milestones and achievements and kind of like a really well developed project plan.
That's great. So something that really tells you how you know when you're on your way, like the, you know, here's where I'm going to and here are the things that will tell me that I'm getting there. Excellent. Thanks, Misha. Okay, Kumnatic, over to you. I see you just joined on your phone, too, so that's probably a great idea. If you wanted to introduce yourself, and tell us one thing that you think makes for an awesome proposal.
Am I muted on the phone? All right, okay.
I can hear you.
What makes a proposal great is the things that you know you need and will need during the time you run your program.
Yeah, that is a good point, because if you're not quite sure what resources you need to do what you're going to do, it's really hard to get support to get those resources. So being able to clearly describe what it is that you need in order to be, as Nisha said, meet those milestones and your end goal. So thanks, Kumanathik. Hi, Nathan. We're just going around. We're doing introductions, and I'll come to you at the end of the circle. So we've just got to two people so far. So let's go to Nikki. Nikki, I know that I don't know how much experience you have writing proposals, but if you imagine yourself being a funder, what do you think you would look for that said this is a really good proposal?
I was originally going to go with what Nisha said, but stopped to it first. But next to that, I think letters of support, I think, is pretty important. I think you'd want to see, like, you know, it's not just this one person or organization that thinks it's a good idea. You want to see what the benefits for the community as a whole will be for it.
That's great. And perhaps something to add to that is letters of support that are, I'm going to use the word like genuine or authentic, because I've seen some organizations where they send a letter of support and they just get a signature and it's the same letter of support and somebody different signs it.
Yeah, not just something generic like that, but like genuine, authentic letters of support.
That's great. Thanks, Nikki. Igor, I see a spinning. Oh, you're back. Okay, so spinning for a minute. Would you like to unmute, introduce yourself, and tell us one thing that you think makes a really good proposal? I think he might be a little bit frozen, so I don't know if you want to pop in the chat. Okay, you can't unmute. Yeah. If you have a phone. And you want to, oh, now you're unmuted.
Yes. Yeah, I can now. So my name is Igor, and hopefully we'll be heard until the end of my talk. So one thing that I'm very provide many of education in order to convince things, in order for person who is assessing our health to be convinced we would do.
Do you mind popping that in the chat? Because I just got every like second or third word. It was very broken. So that would be great. And if you have a phone handy and want to mute your computer and join on the phone, that might help. Awesome. Thanks, Igor. Let's go over to Adam. Adam, if you would like to let us know, or introduce yourself, and then let us know, what do you think makes a great proposal or makes a proposal amazing?
Sure. Yeah, I'm Adam. Work with the NWTRPA. And when I'm writing proposals, I often try to picture the evaluator that's reading it, sitting there with a checklist and an assessment rubric, and just trying to make sure that the way I'm describing whatever component I happen to be writing is going to hit the exact criteria that were in the request for proposal, and if things are being evaluated, making sure that it's absolutely as painfully clear sometimes as possible to the evaluator that the requirements are fulfilled and they're fulfilled well.
Thanks, Adam. So, yeah, kind of getting a sense of what they're going to be looking for and making sure you hit all those key points, sort of like a job interview maybe. or a job application. And along those lines of clarity, the other thing that I think sometimes people do that makes the proposal a bit more challenging is they use acronyms or they use language that the person evaluating might not be familiar with. Like if I talked about the Framework for Recreation in Canada and didn't say what it was, that might be quite confusing to somebody. So I think just to add to what you're saying, that understanding of where they're coming from is really, really helpful. So thank you. Courtney, over to you, and then we'll come to Nathan and Melanie.
Courtney, I'm in Hay River. I work for the town of Hay River. One of the things that I find that make a proposal really good is like a detailed budget explaining where the funding's going to be allocated, like exactly what you need the funding for and what you're going to be using it for.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's the detailed budget, and also being, I think, realistic in your budget so that you show all the things you said, but also so you don't double dip or have to, or not answer questions like GST or things like that, depending on what it is, or don't claim things like admin fees that they might not cover. So thanks, Courtney. Hi, Nathan and Melanie. What we're doing is we're just introducing ourselves and sharing, I'll pop it again in the chat, one thing that you think makes for a great proposal. So maybe some of the things that we said are milestones and achievements, identifying the resources, letters of support. Igor said as many details as possible. Adam built on that so that you know that you're meeting what they need, perhaps thinking of how they evaluate your proposal. And then Courtney talked about the budget. So Nathan, if you wanted to unmute and introduce yourself, do you have anything to add to that list? Your answer might be no by this point in the circle, but that's okay.
Yeah, everyone made a lot of great points. I want to, first of all, apologize for being a little late, running around. Lots of events happening in Baker Lake right now, lots of organizations here. But anyway, life has a work coordinator, we all know how it is. But anyway, yeah. What I think makes a great proposal is finding something that will match perfectly, like framing what you're trying to achieve to the funder and making sure it aligns with what they're trying to fund. Because sometimes I found that I want to use funding from the government, and they're very specific. You can't use it for salaries, or you can't use it for airfare, or you can't use it for prizes. It has to be for food, or like something very specific. It's like written in stone, and it's very hard to work with. So trying to find the perfect fit so that you can find some, like, that's why I like funding some private businesses. They're like, here, you can take the money, spend it the way you want. Like, oh, right on, thank you. And then I can just spend it on stuff that I can't get money from for the government for. So finding a perfect fit for the funding source and framing it so that you can get approved, so it aligns with your event or what your programming is.
Yeah, exactly. And that builds on what Adam was saying, too, about making sure that you understand what they're looking for. Because if you're not a good fit for that funder, don't even bother. So thanks, Nathan. Hi, Melanie. Over to you. If you wanted to introduce yourself, if you don't have anything to add, don't feel that you need to. It's totally up to you. And you're on mute, so we just have to unmute.
I'm Melanie. I'm from Watson Lake. And yeah, sorry too for my late arrival here. We just worked on the fees and charges, and I completely forgot the time until my staff member said, it's 11:15. Like, oh! So, okay. But for the proposal, it's, what Adam says, like the exact criteria, I agree to this and the detailed budget, because that's what always is asked in these proposals, is exactly like that. And then maybe what the benefits and the outcome of what you're applying for will be interesting for the funder. And what we also learned, there are sometimes proposals when they ask for a timeline, where they want to know which months you are doing what, and then it's finished, and then you have to start the thing that after you apply for it. So sometimes you should not start before the before you even apply for the grant or for the, you know, for the money. So,
exactly.
So these timelines sometimes matter. And that's all I have to add because most of it is actually already been named. Yeah.
Thank you. I think that together we have a pretty good sense of what makes a great proposal. So thanks for sharing your ideas. I would just add passion. I think that there's ways to have your passion for your project come through and being a bit creative sometimes. So, you know, if you have the opportunity to add stories or photos into a proposal explaining why that's so important, I think that creativity can help too. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to take a little bit of time to go through the content for this week and next week. I will share my screen so that you can see the slides that I'm talking about. What I would like to ask you to do is, if you have questions, could you pop them in the chat, and then I'll come back and address them. So I just kind of want to make good use of everybody's time here. So let me start the sharing. Present file. Yeah, that one. So we're on to done that one. So we just talked a little bit about successful proposals, and you can see a lot of the things that you mentioned here. I also add are written clearly and concisely. I think, Adam, you alluded to that as well and mentioned clarity too. So we may have talked about this last week or the week before, but really a proposal is a type of planning. It's a planning tool. So it describes the change. So it's it describes a change that you think you're going to accomplish or that you want to achieve through a project, a program, event. So the details that you include have to explain why the change is important, what that change will look like, and what you need to make it happen. So we're going to go through some of the slides here, and you'll see the things that are really important to include in a proposal or funding or grant application. And then we'll also cover some of the nice to have, not essential. So we'll talk about those two different things. So funding is never granted without a good project description. So we're working on this one right here. So I got to go to the next slide. If I jump ahead to slide 25, back from the project description, you can see that part of a description includes goals and activities. So the goals are sort of the broad idea, like Misha said, you know, the milestones or where you want to get to. So you want to make sure that your goal or goals are very clear, and there's an example on this slide, and that the activities clearly describe how you're going to reach that goal. So your activities might be things like workshops, programs, you might be creating a resource. You might be doing promotional activities or having a booth at a community event or a combination of all of those. So the length of description or your project description is going to vary depending on how much money you're asking for. So obviously if you're asking for $100,000, $200,000, you need to add more information. But if you're asking for less, it can be a lot shorter. So for small grants, a summary that's written here that briefly describes the project and its activities might be okay. So that would be something that's like $1,000 or $2,000. I've never, ever encountered a funder in all my 30-something years of doing this. Didn't give it away too much there, but who doesn't want to know who you are? So, and want to know why your project is important. So a background is really important. Sometimes we call that a statement of need, but it's really important to explain the importance of your project. So Nikki, you talked about letters of support, and ideally those letters of support should pinpoint why you're filling a gap, why what you're going to do is important in your community, and they should support what that proposal says. So if you get your letters of support before you've written your proposal, they might not quite match up. So making sure that you have a clear background is important. Funders also want to know what you're going to produce and what and the positive changes that you anticipate. So jumping ahead to, that was on the last slide. So on here, I have those things described as results. You may also hear of them, and I think Melanie mentioned that, as outputs and outcomes. So results or outputs or outcomes are things that you think, that change that you think will happen, or the things that you will produce, like a booklet or a training program or something like that. Some funders you're going to find will ask for something, which I know there's mixed feelings about this, but we call it a logic model. And here there's a link to a template that you can consider using if you want to. And the reason why some funders ask for a logic model is it because it summarizes in one or two pages, depending on how extensive your project is, what you're actually going to do. So I'm not sure how zoomed in you are on this logic model, but it can include things like a bit of background, who your organization is, the goals that you want to achieve, but it also is going to include the things you need. So Kumanopic, you mentioned resources that you need. That would be the inputs. So it's going to look for what do you need to put into the project, what will you do with the things that you get, so your activities, what will you produce, which are your outputs, and what do you expect to change, which are your outcomes. So you don't have to use a logic model, but if you get asked for one, and in my experience, it's usually federal funding that asks for a logic model. If you get asked for one, it's nice to know what it is. That content or the information from a logic model can be presented in different ways throughout a proposal. So the next thing that you want to make sure that you include is you want to make sure that you answer how. Big question, right? So you give them a little bit of the background. You tell them what you're going to do. How? So how much? Courtney mentioned budget being really important. Absolutely. How will you carry it out? What's your work plan? Exactly. So, you know, what are the steps that you're going to take? And some bigger funding pots might require an evaluation plan. So what you might be required to do is prepare an actual evaluation plan. But in my experience, that's usually for big funding pots that are like $100,000, $200,000, $300,000. And for this learning event, please note, I don't want you to worry about evaluation plans. I just want you to know that sometimes you might get asked for one. We are moving in, our next learning event is on evaluation, so we'll work on how to do those in the next learning event. But at the very least, a funder might ask you, how will you know when you've been successful, or what does success look like for you? So that is a question that they might ask anyways. So those are some of the pieces that I find, apart from the evaluation plan, may be built into a proposal or a funding application, but they might not appear in with exactly the same language that I've used or exactly the same format like the logic model. They might provide you a template for a budget. Like I just did a Lotteries UConn funding application, and they gave an Excel file, and it had five different worksheets that we had to fill out, and you had to make sure you put the right information on a different worksheet, and that was your budget and also your cash flow all in one, this great big huge Excel file. So that actually took me almost as much time as writing the proposal because it was a little complicated. But anyways, these are different pieces that you will absolutely find when you're writing funding applications and proposals. So I'd like to stop for a minute and go around our circle. And I'd just like to ask you, and you might not have anything to add to this. You can pop it in the chat if you want. But I'm wondering if there's anything else that you find that you have to include in a proposal. So we've talked about things like a background, goals, activities, a budget, a work plan. So let me just come back to my screen here. So we started last time with Nisha. So let's start this time. Igor, I'm not sure if it'll work for you to unmute, but if you want to try. And is there anything else that you find you have to include in your proposals or funding applications? And if not, if it's not working, Igor, maybe you can pop that in the chat. Melanie, you've added time frame. That's a really important one. So do you want to just pop in the chat how you show that timeline, if you have any suggestions? And we'll go on to Adam. Adam, perhaps you're able to unmute. Is there anything else that you find typically you need to add into your funding applications or proposals that we haven't mentioned?
I guess you mentioned they want to know a little bit about you and sort of expand that. They want to know probably a little bit about your organization's experience in delivering similar projects to whatever it is you're proposing. And probably also how the proposed project aligns with your organizational goals and mission and values would be useful as well.
Yeah, exactly. So a bit about your organization, but also that alignment with it, so that it's not, you know, you've not just pulled a project out of a hat, but it maybe it fits with your strategic plan. Is that sort of what you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. Thanks. And, okay, so Courtney, you popped in there, location where the programming will be delivered and whether or not you're partnering with anybody. Do you mind unmuting? I'm curious, is the location, do you find that it's important for a particular reason? I'm wondering if you can explain that a bit more.
I was just going through my proposal that I wrote for the New Horizons Seniors Programming, and they did ask for locations of where the programming is going to be delivered. That was one of, like, what could be delivery locations they wanted to know.
Do you know why they asked that? I'm just curious. Like, I haven't really run into that before.
I'm not entirely sure. I'm wondering if it's, I don't know, I thought perhaps it was to do with, like, whether or not we're partnering with anybody. So in the programming that I proposed for the New Horizons funding, we are partnering with a couple other agencies. So, I'm not sure if they're looking for that to know if we're partnering with people or to know if we're having to rent other locations or anything like that, maybe.
Yeah. And Misha just popped in, especially if it's northern specific. Misha, are you meaning like a geographic region? Because I think there's a difference. I think Courtney is meaning the location, like the building or the facility.
Yeah, I meant more region specific, but I know like for the Arctic Inspiration Prize, we have to have like a northern institution or a organization to like take to the fund, but that's kind of off task. So I'm not real sure.
And Courtney, you meant like the actual facility itself, right? I think so, yeah. Okay. Sorry, I'm looking mostly at my slideshow there rather than at the whole screen. Igor, did you want to try unmuting again and see if that works for you? Okay, it's not working. I'm sorry. Maybe you can pop something in there. That would be great. Okay, Nathan, how about yourself? Is there something that you find that we haven't mentioned that you need to include in a proposal or funding application?
I think everything's been said. Can't really think of anything except, like, have you done it before, like, show past pictures? Like, I know a lot of people love seeing pictures and they see what's been done before, and if they provide funding, this is sort of what you'll get, like, but new pictures, you know what I mean? I don't know, something like that.
Well, what you just said about have you done it before links to what Adam said. So Adam talked about understanding the organization and also links to what Misha said about having an organization kind of sponsor your project. So sometimes they want to know that your organization has a record or track record or history of successfully carrying out projects, successfully managing the finances, those sorts of things. So that can be really important. It's harder for them to provide funding if you can't confirm that you've got that sort of accountability behind you. The other thing, Nathan, what is something in Nunavut that is always important for any funding or just about anything you do in Nunavut? What is, there's one thing that happens there all the time because of your population, because Nunavut is an Indigenous or Inuit government. What do people always want to see in projects and activities?
From the funders, or?
So usually if you're running a project, they want to see Inuit participation, right? Indigenous participation. They want a number of, if you're hiring staff or anything like that, there needs to be, there's usually a criteria around staff positions, right, that need to be Inuit. Mm. I think there's a certain term for that in Nunavut, but it's not coming to my mind right now.
Yeah, I just did Elders in Motion for this month in January, where we had a few events. I partnered up with a wellness coordinator. So like, we had luncheons, played croquet and bocce balls, bean bags, and got all the pictures and all this stuff. But we needed, like, Indigenous people and, like, you know, usually when it's from the north, it's like in the Inuit Land Claims Agreement, like the Inuit Impact Benefits Agreement, like the IIBAs. There's a lot of, that's what I call them, IIBAs, especially dealing with the mines. Like, I have to benefit Indigenous people or Aboriginals or, like, in that surrounding area, like the communities.
Yeah. So, and each of your communities, each of your communities or territories might have different guidelines around that, because we do have different cultural compositions in our territories. So make sure that could be something that you might need to address in a proposal. Melanie's popped in timeline. Melanie, do you have a certain way that you show your timeline, or do you just write it out? Oh, you put it in here. Sorry.
In the one that we applied for our disc golf course, we had to actually write out every single step, the timeline from April 1st, starting, let's say, design. I just put it up here, actually. Designing
that story.
Course. I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. I didn't see your chat until after I asked you. Apologies.
Yeah. That's okay. So the time frame went from April 1st, 2023 until the start of the golf course in June 8th, 2024. And we mapped out every single step of the way, putting a deadline to it. You know, when we were finishing designing it, then cutting the presses or trees to installing it. Then redesigning it, and that was also part of it, if it had to be. And then signage, marketing, maintenance, all of this was named. We still didn't get the grant though.
Oh, no. Well,
we
I think
so much work into it. It kind of failed a little bit of the meeting their objectives of whom they're giving the grant, because it was crime prevention, and we tried to argue that this would be for youth, and, you know, by keeping them busy and offering an additional recreational activity for our community, but it was not enough. We did not give it enough objectives to convince them that that is true crime prevention. And then normally, I have to say, they said already they are not so much concentrated on recreation activities like a disc golf course. They normally support workshops or shelter programs or stuff like that. But we still
so that's try. Where that's like what Nathan was saying, of making sure that what you're proposing is a good fit with the funder. So what you're suggesting, the disc golf course might be a better fit with UConn's Community Development Fund or lotteries, which both funds.
And we got money from them. Yeah.
Perfect.
So
yeah. That's great. I don't know if anyone wants to pop in the chat different ways that you show timelines, but one thing I would suggest is if you can show your timeline visually so you can see it rather than read through it all in a paragraph, that is really, really helpful too. I love something that's like color-coded, like in this month this is going to happen and this month, and you know, if you can sort of capture it in a nice way, that's really helpful. So if anyone has any good suggestions for showing timelines, go ahead and pop those in the chat. So let's go to Misha Kumanovic and Nikki then, and maybe it will work for Igor to pop in the chat. Fingers crossed for Igor. So Misha, you've popped in location, which is, you know, same sort of thing, but I think you meant something different. Do you want to clarify that again?
Sorry, your question is just wondering what I meant about the location.
Yeah, because it was different than what Courtney said.
Okay. Yeah, no, like for the Arctic Inspiration Prize, like they're very like region specific. So you have to be, like most of your team has to be in the north, and the project itself has to impact the, you know, it has to be northern specific. And like, for example, we have a team member that's from Alberta, and that's okay, but our team, like the majority has to be youth and the north. And then, the administrator of the funding has to be a northern organization. So,
yeah.
And then in the application itself, it asks like where, like what targeted areas your funding or your project, will impact. And so,
And what you're explaining about, like, especially identifying your team and where they're located, links a little bit to what Adam said about the organization. So it flows logically from who is the organization, how does this project connect to the organization's goals, who are the people in the organization that are going to carry it out, and why are they best suited to do that. So I think that's a really good, like you can see how the things that everybody are saying link and connect to different parts of the proposal. So thanks. So Igor just popped in how the project will change people's lives and what they'll get from it. And absolutely, without those big picture outcomes, what's the difference we're going to make? If you can't explain that, you probably won't get the funding. So thank you for sharing that, Igor. And I'm so sorry you're having such a hard time connecting today. Kumanovic, I think you're still on the call too. Did you want to add anything that you think is something that you would include in a funding application that we haven't mentioned already?
Yep. I forgot to introduce myself earlier. My name is Kumanovic Amatya, Acting Location Director for the Municipality of Iglovik. And what would be good to add more, include more of, is the targeted recipients for your program and what age group you are targeting.
That's great. So a little bit more information about that target group and the population and things like that. Thanks, Kumanovic. Nikki, sorry I left you till the very end. Did you have anything else to add to what you might include in a proposal or funding application?
Not really. Between all of you, everyone together kind of explained all the ideas that I had. So I'm just enjoying listening to everyone now.
Yeah, it is helpful to go through it all together. So thank you very much, everyone, for sharing your ideas on that. You've identified some of the additional pieces, and I'll just flip through the slides here for what those are. So I'm going to skip ahead. We covered a budget, and we mentioned a work plan. There is a slide for that and a slide for the evaluation plan as well. And then as you can see, when we move into next week, which we don't have a group call, so I just wanted to point this out, you can see that once you've sort of drafted the main parts or the essential parts of your proposal or your funding application, you want to pull it together. You might need a title page to make it look nice. You might need a cover letter. You might need an applicant profile, which is similar to what Adam was saying about explaining who your organization is. You might need what Misha said, like a description of your project team. The one thing I think we didn't mention, Courtney did say a really good budget, but some funders require you to provide at least 2 quotes for something. So if you're going to purchase equipment or do some work, often they want 2 quotes for that. So that can make it, you know, sometimes that can be challenging in the North. We don't always have those things. So think of all those things, and they're described in the following slides. I'll let you go through them. Oh, I'm not going to go to that one just yet. Think of all those things sort of as your finishing touches. So that's what you'll work on in the 4th week, is pulling it together so it's laid out nicely, it flows, things like that. And as a number of you have mentioned, make sure you check the requirements from your funder. Find out how they're evaluating it, and include any additional parts that you think are needed to help you get funding. So the last thing I just wanted to talk about is the professionalism of your proposal. There's nothing worse than seeing a proposal that is poorly written, long-winded, doesn't flow nicely. As if I was evaluating one, I want to see something that comes across as a story, as somebody who's put their energy and time into it. So it's really important to have how you write your proposal and how you lay it out. So what I call those things is I call them sort of like the mechanics. So you want to use short words and sentences. Don't ramble on like perhaps I'm doing talking right now. We tend to do that when we're talking. But use short words and sentences. Use it like an active voice rather than, oh, I might like to do this. Try and lay it out so you've got subheadings and bullets, but not all bullets and lists, because that's too much too. Try and use tables and graphics, like for your timeline, and a call-out box, like the one that's on the side of this slide here. Make sure you spell out any acronyms, and if you're using the acronyms regularly, you could put them into a list right at the beginning. And then check for consistent formatting. Some people, you know, sometimes we're using a Word document and it changes the font and it changes the spacing and things, and that's really challenging too. I'd encourage you to use some of the guides. Like I've got 2 linked here. There's a Purdue Online Writing Lab and a Canadian Spellings and Word List. And if you need more help, try out like, what is it, can someone put that in the chat, the ChatGPT or whatever they call it now, so that artificial intelligence. I went in and tried telling it to write a description for a proposal, and you give it the information, like you type a little bit of stuff in and it lays it all out. So I don't have a problem with you doing that, so use those resources. Adam, you're a teacher, you trained as a teacher. I'm just wondering, do you have any other suggestions that you could add to what makes a well-written proposal, or what tools or resources people could use for that?
Yeah, there's lots of, like something like Grammarly, that costs a bit of money, but organizationally you could probably get that paid for. It makes a huge difference. I've used that for various things over the years, and not only does it make all the corrections, but it sort of teaches you writing style as you're going. And it highlights some of the trickier things, like you had mentioned, that you want to write in active rather than passive voice. And that's a tough one to get your mind wrapped around until you're really forced to just adjust the way that you write. And all those red lines underneath your words that Grammarly provides certainly highlights that to you over and over and over again, and you can teach that. And then I think also just having other sets of eyes read over it, whether that's for style or clarity, spelling, grammar, punctuation. I think we all get stuck in our own habits of writing, and our errors may not even be apparent to us. So they'll stick out like a sore thumb, or not even just errors, but if we tend to use the same 3 adjectives over and over again, we might not notice that, but someone else reading it will. So having others proofread it for you and make suggestions and learn from those suggestions. It's part of the process as well is that we can become better writers through doing this over and over.
That's great. And even if you don't feel that you're a good writer, some of those tools that Adam just suggested, Grammarly, and here's the link for the chat, GPT, I don't know why I want to say GB, but anyway, GPT, and great tip to have somebody else read it. The other thing you can do if you're not comfortable writing it is just jot your ideas down and then try and find someone to put them into logical flow for you. And thanks for also pointing out, Adam, how sometimes we write in the same way, and sometimes some repetition is okay if you're trying to reinforce something, but if it if you're not getting it, can sort of mask the message, I guess. I just reviewed a Red Cross instructor guide, and every second sentence they use the word please, and by halfway through I was so tired of hearing, please could you do this, rather than we're trying to tell people what to do this. So sometimes less words are better than too many. Does anyone else have any other suggestions? Go ahead, Adam.
I just have one other thing. This is some advice that I got as I was starting in an MBA program. And I haven't written essays in 20 years, and occasionally I get writer's block. One of my friends just said, if you feel like you can't write, just write badly. And knowing that you're going to go back and edit and improve it, but don't let yourself stop typing. Like, even if you make typos, just keep going. And what I found doing that is when I'm having a hard time explaining something, if I just get whatever comes to my mind out onto the screen, when I look back at it the next day, 80% of what I needed is there, and it's way easier to just tidy it up and get it clarified. Whereas if you try to make it perfect the first time you're writing it down, you really can get kind of frozen there and not make any progress, and it's very frustrating. So, yeah, don't be afraid to write terribly if you need to, just to get something down, and then you can go back and make it wonderful.
Yeah, and my expectation from you is not for the good writing, so thanks for pointing that out, Adam. My expectation for you in this is that you can lay it out, put the pieces that you're going to need, and provide some thoughts in there. It does not have to be finished or polished. I've had people, when they've done this activity, say, do I have to go and get the letters of support as well? And I said, no, but put in your document that you're going to share letters of support and who you might get them from. So along those lines, one thing that you can do that just triggered when Adam mentioned that, and I'll just share my screen for this one. So this is a link that you'll get off one of the slides. And what it is, you do not have to have all these sections, but these are suggested sections that you could include. I would put all of these in a massive proposal, like $250,000 to $500,000. In a small one, you probably wouldn't have all of them. But you can see how it's broken out by sections. And so what you could do for your required learning activity is kind of along the lines of what Adam just said, is lay out a document with the different sections that you want to include, and then just put your ideas in there in point form for me. Write badly if you want to, but know where to go to get the resources to finish it if you need to. So that's just a good tip there. I see we're coming up to the hour. Nikki, is that your hand up or Nisha's hand up? Oh, it must be Nisha. Go ahead, Nisha.
I just wanted to add with kind of the bad writing thing that it's actually really helpful to, in my experience with this Arctic Inspiration Prize, to like also, like I call them working documents. So for one barrier I've had is like, how is this project going to look over the next year? And it might look different in another, like, once you talk to a couple people, but it's always helpful to, like, just have whatever ideas, even if you don't know, like, what's really going to look like, and then you can, like, show it off, and, like, it could be, like, a brainstorming document, or maybe you have a rest, and then the next day you're like, actually, I'm going to change this or whatever. So I just wanted to, like, also support that idea where, like, even if you're feeling, like, the brain drain, if you have like an idea that just to get it out off your brain, it's really helpful.
Yeah, and I think the other thing along those lines, Nisha, is you and I chatted a few times, and then the, you know, just even talking, and you can even talk to yourself and record it. How many of you guys use, like, talk-to-text things? Like, I do that on my phone sometimes. I send somebody a text, and I even just tap it, and it, Nikki, you use it? So that can be a really useful thing for this. Sometimes it's hard to write your idea, and it's easier to talk it. So try, you know, talking it, getting it converted through, even if you're just texting yourself a few times or sending yourself an email on your phone or something like that, you can use that type of thing as well, so that at least you're getting your ideas out onto a piece of paper. Does anyone who's, I know some of you have also had experience with not just preparing proposals, but writing actual applications that are set where it's like you can write 250 words here and 100 words here. Does anyone have any tips that they'd like to share on their experiences with those types of funding requests? I was thinking, Courtney, you told us that the New Horizons is a fairly extensive application. Was it laid out that way with sort of parameters about how many words for each question?
Yeah, there was definitely limits on the word count for each question and everything like that. For the most part,
yeah.
The timeline, there was no limit on it.
So did you find that challenging sometimes, that you wanted to write more or you didn't know how much to write?
I found, yeah, more challenging. The parameters were, like, pretty broad. Like, there was a lot of words allowed or whatever. So there's a lot of times that I felt that I wasn't writing quite enough and I didn't know what else to add, but it was all right. It worked out in the end.
That's great. Any tips for anybody on that one, or just sort of follow the instructions?
Just kind of follow the instructions, I think. This is the second time I've applied to this one, and my first application was successful. So in 2023, right? Yeah, the 2022 application, we were awarded $25,000. So I'd applied again, and yeah, the first time I didn't really know what I was doing and just kind of followed the instructions, and it worked out okay. So I'm hoping that it does again this time.
That's great. Fingers crossed for you. Igor, I think you're back on with a better connection. I'm not sure if you caught all the conversation, but we're just sharing any last minute sort of tips about responding to what funders are looking for and making sure our proposals and funding applications are professional. Do you have anything you wanted to add? Uh-oh, Igor froze just as I asked him that. Nisha's added, if they give you the opportunity to present it, do it. Absolutely. So sometimes some people come across way better in person, and your passion usually comes through, your enthusiasm for something. So I know Mountain Equipment Co-op has, I checked and I didn't see an updated one for 2024, but Mountain Equipment Co-op runs their, they have a community grant, and they run it that way where you actually give a presentation. So, okay, so this afternoon I'm going to, or this evening probably, I'll be reviewing your last week's required learning activities, and I'll share some feedback. It might be questions or things like that. If you could wait to get my feedback before starting the next required learning activity, that would be great. If you're sort of stumped and you don't have a project idea in mind, I've created a case study that you can use to prepare a proposal or grant application. So let me know if you're in that position. And I know that a number of you in this group are very competent and confident proposal writers. Personally, I believe that I can always improve my skills when it comes to writing and preparing proposals and grants. So, you know, this learning event is for you to move from where you're at to where you'd like to get to. So think of it as strengthening what you already do well or building on what you already do well. So if you feel that you're quite confident and competent, you have a couple of options for completing the learning event. And I will send this again in a message, but I just wanted to mention it. So there's a required learning activity for this week and then for next week. If you feel really confident, you can combine the two and just do next week's, like the fourth one, and skip this one. But make sure that you read the instructions so that you're addressing both week three and week four in one RLA. And if you do that, just know that I'll provide feedback on what when you actually submit your RLA. I won't be doing anything in between. You can also, if you have written a lot of proposals or funding applications, you can also share one either through email or in the forum that you've written already. You can choose to review it on your own. So, you know, Melanie talked about one that went to crime prevention and it didn't quite fit, right? So maybe, you know, let's just say you're wondering, why didn't that get funded? What was missing in the fit? How could I rewrite that one so it was a better fit for that funder? So you can either choose to rewrite a proposal or just reflect on what how your proposal or funding application was put together and what you might do differently to strengthen it if you were to do it again. So that's another alternative for you. If you're going to do that, just make sure that you share the proposal with me either through email or in the forum and share your reflection if possible with everybody because we're all learning from each other. Last point is just remember that next week you can schedule an optional one-on-one call with me. I think I only have two people in the scheduled list. You go into activity number 7 and choose a time, and then I will send you the link to join. If you don't want to, that's totally fine. It is optional. If you're feeling overwhelmed or you're feeling comfortable where you're at, don't worry about it. It's entirely up to you. So this wraps up our last group conference call for BF-102 proposal writing. So you're welcome to stay on. I've got a whole hour booked to answer questions, respond to where you're at with your proposal development. What I might suggest is if somebody has a longer question, maybe you just sign off for 5 minutes and come back on again. If you just maybe don't hang up after I stop the recording if you have any questions or you want to talk about anything in more detail, and then we'll figure out how to do it so that it's most efficient for everybody's time. You do have extra time to finish up your proposal writing. So you actually have, I'm just going to check my calendar here, you have until the end of February to finish this learning event. It would be great if you could finish it a little sooner, but if you can get it done by February 25th at the latest, that would be ideal because we start RP-102 evaluation in recreation on February 26th, and that's probably another hard one, and then it's easier after that leading up till May. So thanks so much, Masicho, Nakarnik, Bonamik, merci, thanks for your time today. Stay on after I stop the recording if you have any questions, and if not or you don't have time right now, reach out to me and let me know and we'll find a time that works for you.